Ephesians chapter 5, notice verse number 18, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I felt the Lord leading me to speak twice on the family today. This morning we spoke about children, and specifically to parents, about the importance of, and I stole, for those of you who weren't here, I stole old Dr. Bill Rice's message title, not his message, but his message title, if you've ever heard it, Love 'em, Learn 'em, and Lick 'em. And he preached that, was famous for that message, and we talked about that this morning. Tonight I want to speak a little bit on marriage, and I told the young adult class, I said, tonight's message, I'm very proud of the title. I said, I don't know if the message is very good, but the title is awesome. And the title of tonight's message is this. Why? Thank you, brother. That is scrubbing bubbles right there, man. And that's even cold. You guys got a stash back there somewhere? What's going on? If I smell chicken McNuggets in a minute. You know, you don't have to be retarded to come to this church, but it helps. It helps. The title of tonight's message is Why My Wife Seldom Submits to Me. That's the name of the message. Why? I'm looking at it. I can't believe it either. Why my wife seldom submits to me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'd ask, Lord, your blessing as we meet, and help us to learn some things tonight, Lord. I pray that you would bless. We've got young people that are just in the next few months going to be married. We've got a lot of, we've been blessed with a lot of young couples. And Lord, we've been blessed also in this church. It's great that you've given us people in this church that we can come in and look at every single Sunday, and husband and wife sitting together that's been married 35, 40, 45, many of them over 50 years. And Lord, I do thank you for that. I pray, Lord, as we study the scriptures tonight, as we talk about some things, that you'll help us to get some wisdom. And Lord, I know that the devil would want to do nothing else but to cause grief and heartache and conflict in any home. He would like there to be tension in a marriage and arguing and fighting and bickering. And the Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that that's his goal. And Lord, he's the one that works so hard to orchestrate those things. Help us not to join with him, but instead help us to become wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Help us to study the Bible and learn, Lord, some things tonight that'll help strengthen marriages tonight. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Told our young adult class, I said, we're going to preach on this subject, but I'm going to subtitle it, How to Eliminate Silly Arguments in Your Marriage. How to Eliminate Silly Arguments in Your Marriage. The word submit, submission, subject, subjection. Those four words are used 36 times in the New Testament. And by the way, they come all from the same basic Greek word. Now, submit, submission, subject, subjection. These words are used to help solve problems that may arise in the follower-leader relationships. There's seven specific follower-leader relationships that are mentioned in connection with the word submit or subject or subjection. Let me give you them, and we're not going to teach on them or preach on them, but there's, of course, first of all, the child of God, God relationship. James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Guess what? In the child of God, God relationship, we're the follower, and God's the leader. We're to submit, and he's to dictate. Okay? Then we have the citizen-government relationship. 1 Peter chapter 2, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Romans 13, 1 and 2, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Number three, there's the child-parent relationship. We see the example of Jesus Christ when he was 12 and he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Here's the word, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Hey, young person, you suppose if Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God in the flesh, had enough sense and was able to humble himself and submit to his parental authority, you suppose maybe you could do the same thing? Are you listening to me? All right, the child-parent relationship. 1 Peter 3, 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children, here's the word, in subjection with all gravity. Child-parent relationship. Number four, we have the employee-employer relationship. 1 Peter 2:18, servants be subject, there's the word, to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. Then we have the church member-pastor relationship. Obey them, Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. We have, let me say this, I'm going to use it as the staff pastor-senior pastor relationship. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, speaking of the elders, ye younger, submit yourself therefore unto the elders, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And the last one, but the one that we have more scripture than anything on, is the wife-husband relationship. 1 Peter 3:1 through 6, likewise ye husband, or ye wives, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection, there's the word, unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And then in our text verses in Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You say, Brother Jerry, after reading all of those verses, how can you preach a message entitled, Why My Wife Seldom Submits to Me? Listen very carefully and don't miss what I'm going to say. The purpose of the principle of submission is, and don't miss this, to settle differences. To settle differences. Submission is there to promote unity. It is so we can spend our time doing what needs to be done instead of arguing about what needs to be done. Submission promotes efficiency and order. It allows us to keep going forward in a positive way, even though we at times have varied opinions and differences as individuals. Don't ever forget this, folks. It's not a contest. That's not what it's about. It's not I won or she won. That's not what it's about. It's about accomplishing something for the Lord. And God has set up the leader fellowship principles to help us to be efficient in carrying out what God has called us and wants us to do. Now, you say, Brother Jerry, all right, I hear you. But why is it that your wife seldom submits to you? I want to give you some principles, and I really want you to give me a hearing. This July, me and my wife will celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. For some of you in this room, that doesn't seem like very much. You've been married a lot longer. For a lot of you in this room, that seems like a lot, and you think we're old. I remember, because when I was a young married couple, when I heard somebody was celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary, I thought, well, they won't be with us long. You know, they've got one foot in the grave. They're just about gone. And but let me say this. I can't speak on the basis of having been married 55 or 60 years, but I can say this. Me and my wife have been married now, soon, in a few months, 25 years, and I want to thank the Lord and thank a good wife that not only have we been married, but we've been happily married. We've been happily married. I look at you young people up here, and I was doing it during the offering, and every once in a while as a preacher, I look up and look around at some of our young people, and there's a lot of things I wish for you. But way up there on that list is that I wish for you to be patient and wait and marry within the perfect will of God. So much of your long-term happiness in life is going to be determined by who you marry. By who you marry. The type of person that you marry. I got to put this away. You know, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. I'm going to pop that thing open, drink it if I got to keep looking at it. I mean that. I mean, listen, you can mess up on a lot of things, but don't mess up on this. Get this thing right. Get this thing right. Marry right. Wait for the young lady, godly young lady. Young ladies, wait. Be patient. Be patient. Wait for the godly young man that God has for you. And I want you to have that. There's a lot of things in my life that I would not say. I would wish some things that I have, I wouldn't say I wish this for you, but a good marriage, I have one, and I wish it for everyone. I mean that with all my heart. Now, let me see if I can help you achieve that tonight. There's young couples in this room, and I don't have inside information, but I guarantee you there's young couples in this room that struggle a lot. There may be couples in this room that's been married already for some time, and you know what? Still, there's a mini war that goes on in your home from time to time. There's a battle that goes on. I want to give you some very good practical principles that will help bring peace to your marriage. You know why I think some marriages tend to have a lot of conflict? Because you have set your marriage up where there are constant conflict opportunities. And you've got two people pretty excited about taking advantage of them. But that doesn't make for much of a happy life. Now listen to what I have to say for you. Hey, Brother Jerry, why? Now, we know Sister Cheryl. We know, and by the way, I married a good wife and a godly wife. And I talked to her about this message last night. I said, I want to prep you for this. And I guess I can get by with preaching this because I have such a good, submissive wife. But let me tell you why there's very few times in her life that she has to submit to me. Number one, let me give you some principles. Number one, develop like-mindedness. Develop like-mindedness. Okay? Let me read you a wonderful verse. Jot this reference down if you're taking notes. Romans 15, verse 5 and 6. Let me read these verses to you. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the God of patience and consolation wants to grant to you married couples to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, why is it that your wife doesn't have to submit to you very often? Folks, by the very definition of submission, now think about this. Let's say that we're making a decision, and there's a decision we need to make that's a joint decision. If I said, well, I think we ought to go here, and she says, you know what? I was thinking the same thing, we ought to go here. I don't have to at that point say, huh, hey, huh, that's enough of that. You submit to me. Folks, if you agree about something, nobody needs to submit. I didn't need to submit to her. She didn't need to submit to me. You know why? We agreed about it. Do you know why my wife seldom submits to me? I'm going to give you the number one greatest reason. It's because we're like-minded. The only time submission is necessary if there's a disagreement. Are you thinking with me? Are you thinking with me? You say, Brother Jerry, I haven't gotten married yet. Would you please listen to me? Let me give advice to those that are now prayerfully seeking. And maybe you're at that age where you're beginning to pray, and you're going to be soon to that age where you're going to be actively looking and seeking and asking God to bring the person in your life that He wants you to. Can I give you a great piece of advice? Marry somebody that's like-minded. Marry somebody like-minded. It doesn't mean that you have to think about everything the same. It doesn't mean you have to have all of the same opinions. But you're the most in the important areas of life. You need to be in agreement. If you going into marriage already know that in major areas you have opposing opinions and opposing views and opposing goals, I can pretty much tell you, you're going to spend most of your life bickering and fighting with each other. I mean, listen to me. That's why you're crazy if you go out here. Some of you Christian young men, you grow up, you go out there, and you know what? You're more worried about the outward appearance than the inward heart, and you chase somebody that's either godless or lost or carnal, and you know what? You want it because you want it, and you're not going to listen to anybody, and then, hey, okay, fine, do it! But you know what you're going to find out? That if you're truly saved and you marry somebody that's lost, there's so many things that are different from what goes on in your heart, what goes on in your mind and their mind. You may think, well, we're soulmates though, Brother Jerry. You're going to think soulmates. Now, listen to me. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? That doesn't mean that you have to agree about every little detail in life. You don't have to have the same favorite color, root for the same baseball team. But if you're going to walk together, you got to be heading in the same direction. You got to be heading in the same direction. So develop like-mindedness. And if you're not yet married, find somebody that has the same, the important areas of life, the scriptural areas of life, they see things the way you see things. Okay? Now, let me give you some advice to those who are already married. Well, Brother Jerry, it's too late. I'm married and we're not like-minded. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say next. Why not? Why not? No, that's a great question. Well, because I'm my own person there. Wait a minute. Let's get down to it. We're gonna do some helping tonight, okay? Why not? Are you both saved? You both have the same Bible? You both have the same Holy Spirit? You know, the one of the main purposes of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God is to orchestrate unity in the body of Christ. And if the Holy Spirit's able to orchestrate unity in the body of Christ amongst its members, I suppose he also has the ability to orchestrate unity in your home. Now, I'll challenge you for a minute. Now, by the way, stop. I don't want you to spend this sermon putting your partner under the microscope. I want you to put yourself under the microscope. Why is it that you're not like-minded about the important things of life? Do you have a scriptural view of it? Or do you just want to do what's right in your own eyes? Do you yield to the Holy Spirit of God? Or are you just stubborn in your own private belief system? Most marriages where we've got two people that are so, listen, they're not like-minded. They're so opposite in so many areas. I guarantee you, one of them or both of them is not right with God. Because the Holy Spirit and surrendering to the Holy Spirit and dying to self and studying the Scriptures, all of those things conform our minds to believe most of the same things. So this is the question tonight about saved couples bickering and fighting and carrying on all the time. Well, he never sees it my way and I never see it his way. Wait a minute. Will you stop that? Why don't both of you decide to see it God's way? My wife's not like-minded because she always sees it my way, or I'm not like-minded with her because I see it her way. We're like-minded a lot because both of us see things God's way. Amen. There's a blessing that comes with deciding you're going to be a spiritual husband. You're going to be a spiritual wife. You get a couple of them together and you get them saying, you know what, not my will but thine be done. And God, what do you want? What's important to the Lord and what's important to the cause of Christ? And next thing you know, you'll have two people whose mind begins to think alike, like-mindedness. Do you have the same Bible? Do you have the same Holy Spirit? Do you have the same goals? Do you understand the major purpose of why you were created? Husband, do you have definite goals? Are you intent on finding the will of God and submitting to the will of God and pursuing the will of God? Wives, are you willing to support your husband in his pursuit for God's will for his life? By the way, I just hit something right there that could solve some problems here tonight. Let me tell you a story. I was knocking on doors a week ago in Clay City. Man came to the door. I won't tell you what church it is. He said, would you pray for us? He said, I go to such and such church here in the area, and our pastor's leaving. I said, oh, really? He said, no, it's not a bad situation. He said, it was a surprise to us, but he got up a couple weeks ago and said he was leaving. I said, okay. And he began to keep offering information. He said, well, he's been driving quite a long distance to pastor the church. You see, his wife works in a hospital up in the area where they live. He said, he's been our pastor for a few years. God's blessing the church. It's growing. He says it's God's will for him to be here, but his wife doesn't want to move down here. She said it'd be too far for her to drive back and forth to work, so he's going to resign the church, go up there and try to find a church closer to where his wife works. You know what's so sad? To some of you gals in here, that makes sense. You've been brainwashed by this society. Let me explain something that'll help you. I mean this. I want to be a help. Listen, I'm not mad at anybody. But God created Adam, and he put him in the garden, and he gave him a job to do. Then he said, it's not good for man to be alone. He created a woman, put her in the garden with him, to help him be successful at the job that he gave him. You know why some of you aren't like-minded? Because you don't understand the purpose for which you were created. Let me give you something that'll help you so much, ladies. You were not created so that you could go find God's will for your life and your husband come in alongside and help you accomplish that. You were created as a helpmeet, a completer. And your job's come alongside to a husband and say, honey, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to make clear what his will for your life is, what he wants you to accomplish in this life. And then I want to come alongside and I want to help you succeed at that in any way I can. Now, if you don't have that like-mindedness, you're going to spend your whole life doing this. You know why? Because you want your will and you want him to submit and become a helpmeet. And he wants to do what God's called him to do, and he wants you to submit and become a helpmeet. And you're never going to be like-minded until you figure out why you were created. I could not pastor this church or stay in the ministry if I did not have a wife that understands this. There's a lot of times I'm away from the house where she'd rather me be there. There's a lot of times that she sacrifices and has for years so that I could be successful. Listen, there's a lot of times she comes over here and spends hours and hours and hours and hours behind the scenes. You know what? Listen, I've said this my whole life. You dust anything I've ever been successful at doing in the ministry, you dust it for fingerprints and you'll find my wife's fingerprints all over it. She's not looking for the spotlight. She's not looking for applause. You know what? She wants me to succeed at what God's called me to do, and she comes behind me, alongside me, and does everything she can to see that that happens. We are like-minded in where we're going. We're like-minded in what God's called us to do. We're like-minded in understanding our roles in all of this. And because of that, there's not a whole lot of submitting she has to do. She made that submission decision years ago as a young lady when she went to an altar and said, God, if you'll give me a man of God, I'll stand beside him and I'll hold his arms up and I'll help him and I'll assist him. I'll do everything I can to make him a success. And you know what? Because she submitted to the Lord and his will for her life, I haven't had to fight much. Amen. So why does your wife seldom submit to you? Because in most areas, we agree anyway. Why? Because she gives in to everything I think? No, because we both decided to give in to what God's will is and the way that he thinks. Let me give you another thought. This will help you. Number one, develop like-mindedness. Number two, boy, this is practical. Please listen to this. Divide responsibilities. Divide responsibilities. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. Divide responsibilities. Some of these young couples are around here. Oh, I can't wait to be married. When we get married, we're going to talk about everything. And we're going to discuss everything. And we're going to decide together on everything. Yeah, and you're going to have about 50 fights a day. Sounds romantic, but could I tell you, that's just stupid. We don't discuss everything. We don't talk about everything. Not everything's a joint decision. You say, why? Because we've divided the responsibilities. Let me give you men some great advice. Give your wife charge over the areas she has been gifted by God to perform. I hear some of the craziest things. Folks, listen, God called her to be the keeper at home. He didn't call me. He called me to be the head of the home, but not the keeper of the home. And I want to say, thank you, Lord. Thought about this for the message. I thought, can you see Tom Walton being a keeper at home? Amen, brother. Can you imagine what that house would look like? I'm just picturing him in an apron. Delete. Husband, you ding dong. You come home and your wife's rearranged the furniture. And you want to spend an hour arguing with her about the way it should have been done. I mean, she moves the toaster from this spot to this spot. Why'd you move the toaster? That's a dumb place for it. Well, let me give you some wisdom here. You walk in, you got your bread, you're looking for the toaster. It's not where it usually is. You look around. You find it. You go over, you put your toast in there, push it down, and shut your mouth. You don't have to ask any questions. Just be glad you don't have to be the one that cleans the toaster, cleans up the crumbs you're going to leave all over the place. I mean, honestly, couples fighting over things. Divide areas of responsibility. Divide areas of responsibility. Listen, you know why she didn't have to submit to me in a lot of the areas of our life? Because I've given her, now listen, it's my choice, but I've given her charge over those areas, and honest truth is she's more gifted than I am to do those areas, so why would I always be throwing in my 2 cents worth on it? That house is her house. She's the keeper at home. She's probably a lot smarter on how to organize it and make it efficient and arrange it properly. Guys, she probably has a little better eye in interior decorating than you do. And you want to come in and she hung a new picture up and you want a 30-minute argument about where you would have put the picture instead? Are you nuts? I usually don't even notice the new picture for at least 3 to 4 months. And I'll look up and say, has that always been there? No. Honestly, what are you fighting over? What are you doing? Now, divide the responsibilities. Most decisions, get this, it's going to blow away some things that need to be blown away. Most decisions should not be joint decisions. Insecure men can't keep their fingers out of every little thing. It has nothing to do with that picture. It's about your control issues. Who cares? Who cares? Gentlemen, respect your wife's decisions in the areas you have assigned her. Not only that, don't just give her areas of responsibility. Give your wife the resources and time to succeed in the areas over which you've placed her. For instance, you know what? My wife is totally in charge of getting groceries, preparing the food, meals, planning all of that, completely in charge of. Now, I can give her that assignment, but if I don't give her the resources for her to succeed, she's going to get frustrated and I'm going to get frustrated. So supply her the resources so she can succeed in the areas that you've assigned her to do. My wife most of the time does the grocery shopping on her own. On her own. Every once in a while, our schedules are a little crazy in the ministry, so sometimes Thursday mornings, for the most part, we try. That's my quote-unquote day off when we can get it. But I try to, as much as possible, protect Thursday mornings. We get up. We see Tabitha gets off to school. We get in the car. We usually drive up to Terre Haute, go to IHOP, eat breakfast, and come home. After we eat at IHOP, do you need to pick up anything? Usually it's snow. Sometimes, yeah, I need one thing, something for the office, and we'll go by and pick some up, and then we go home. And the rest of the day, I've got things I want to accomplish. She's got some things she wants to accomplish, but we get to spend a little time together. Now, get this. Every once in a while, she'll say, she usually does grocery shopping on Monday or Tuesday, but every once in a while, it's crazy, and I'll say, hey, do you need to pick up anything? I didn't get to do grocery shopping. I don't throw a fit about that. But okay, let's go get it done. So we go to the store, and we go grocery shopping. You say, Brother Jerry, what's your job? I push the cart. Some of you can't hand over grocery shopping to your wife. I mean, there's Christian couples standing in the aisle at Walmart arguing over which brand of green beans to get. Are you nuts? If you're arguing, you're delaying the time that you can get out of there. So I don't even know where the stuff is. One time my wife got very, very, very ill several years ago, a lot of years ago. And she absolutely couldn't do grocery shopping. I said, I'll do it. So she gives me a list. Took me 4 hours. Nothing is where it should be in Walmart. I think a woman organized Walmart. I mean, I went back and forth from front to back 50 times looking for stuff that I couldn't find. I mean, women in that store were laughing at me. And I got this list, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm grabbing stuff, and I always think, well, she said one of these, but we might as well get four. And I'd see, oh, man, that's not on here, but that looks good. Hey, that looks good. I went to check out, $200. 4 hours, $200. My wife said, you are never going grocery shopping again. I said, it worked. Amen. Son, crazy. Crazy. Are you listening to me? Give her things. Give her the resources. Listen, this is going to shock you as a husband. Some areas, it's her areas. You know what? If you want to help, you assist her in those areas. In my areas, if she wants to help, she assists me. But I'm not going to argue with her about how she needs to do it. Just like I don't want her arguing with me about how to do my areas. And because of that, we don't argue much. Divide responsibilities. Let me give you number three. Number three. Now, you say, Brother Jerry, develop a like-mindedness, divide responsibilities, but there are things that as couples you have to make a joint decision on. Absolutely. Now listen very carefully. Number three, discuss and listen to differences. Now, I am going to say this to husbands. Listen to me. There's a lot of, and I would just go as far to say this. Most major decisions of your home, you ought to talk to your wife about. Most major purchases, most major decisions. A lot of times when it comes to the child rearing, you have to discuss it. You have to make a joint decision. Gentlemen, do not just say, that's my wife's job. It's not just your wife's job to rear the children. Now, she may be there the most, and she may have to carry out the lion's share of it, but you need to be actively involved in the rearing of your children. So there's going to be times where you have to sit down, and you're going to have to make a decision, and guess what? You see it this way and thinks this ought to be done, and she sees it this way and thinks it ought to be done. Now, wait a minute, here we go. This is where we've got to think here. What do we do? Now, the rebellious wife says, I don't care what he says, I'm going to do it my way. The unwise husband says, bless God, there's a verse in the scripture, and I don't care what she says. I think this, and we just need to do it. She just needs to submit. Can I encourage you to do this? Discuss and listen to each other. Let me give you a great verse, 1 Timothy 5:1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brother. Rebuke versus entreat. If you and your wife have a difference of opinion on a decision, gentlemen, let her state her case without accusing her of being rebellious, and listen to why she sees it differently and thinks it ought to be done differently. Hear her out. Let me give you the next thought here. Why is it that my wife seldom has to submit to me? Even when we see things differently sometimes? Here's the reason. Because often, after I've discussed it with her and listened to her, I realize she's right. There's times she shouldn't be submitting to me. You know why? She's right. Now, this is, men, where we get our egos get in the way. Do you want to just be right, or do you want to make the right decision? Your wife is going to have some amazing insights when it comes to your children. You know why? She's around them a lot more than you are. She's going to have amazing insights when it comes to your daughters. You know why? She's a woman and you're not. And for you to just say, well, I see it this way, and you see it this way. You know what? This is where the verse comes into effect. Listen, that verse is there, yes, to settle differences if you can't reconcile. But honestly, I have sat down with my wife many times and said, look, honey, what do you think about that? I think that we ought to do this. She's like, well, hon, I'm not sure about that. Well, what do you think? Well, I think this because of these reasons. And you know what? I think about it. I think, you know what? She's right. So why should I insist on her submitting to what I wanted to do if it's the wrong decision? It's not about who wins the argument. It's not about who gets their way. It's about making the right decision. And folks, listen to me. I've said this for years, and I you know what? You can take it. You can turn it anything you want to turn it into. But high on the list of my chief counselors in my life is my wife. God has given her a perspective as a woman and as my wife that I would be foolish not to listen to, foolish not to discuss things with her, especially when it involves our family and our future. So why is it sometimes that she shouldn't submit or doesn't have to submit to you, shouldn't be made to submit to you? She shouldn't be made to submit to you if she's right and you're wrong. Get your pride out of the way. Only by pride cometh contention. Some of you got this imaginary scoreboard on the wall, living room of your home. You've got a mental scoreboard. How many she's won and how many you won? Listen, how many times has right won? Amen. Now, we're going to get to the ladies, but I'm trying to help some of you. Some of you men feel like every time you have a difference of opinion with your wife, she ought to automatically submit to your authority, and you don't discuss it, you don't hear her out, you don't listen to her, and you know what? You make wrong decisions. Come on, anybody want to testify? And later on, you think, my wife was right. Okay? But you weren't interested in getting it right. You were interested in being right. At least in your own mind. Okay, does that help? Now, wives, listen to me. Learn to entreat your husband and not rebuke your husband. If he's making a decision or about to make a decision and you've really got some issues with it, you know what? You can go up to him and you can blow up and you can holler and you can scream and you can stomp and you can threaten, but you know what? You won't find any of that in the Bible, and you're sinning, whether you're right or wrong, you're sinning in your treatment of your husband. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a... You know what entreat means? Entreat means to come to somebody from a position of fellowship and appeal to somebody that's in a position of authority and present your case in a level-headed, kind, loving manner. And ladies, I'm just telling you right now, you've got a lot better chance of him giving you a hearing doing that than the other, whether you're right or wrong. Wise is the wife that can state her differences of opinion to her husband and still reverence her husband. Still not sin in not reverencing her husband. Are you getting this? So discuss and listen to differences. Gentlemen, if you do that, and you know what? After you think about it, she's right. Don't let pride cause you to make a wrong decision and to insist on her being submissive when she's right. You say, well, Brother Jerry, but the Bible says, wives, submit yourself. It also said in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's not a sin to say, honey, you know what? Boy, God's given you some insight there, and you are right on this. Thank you. I would have made a bad decision. I would have made a bad call there. Thank you for your input. There's a reason that some wives walk around and you know what? They've got a confidence about them and an assurance about them and an acceptance about who they are. You know why? Because they're not beat down all the time. They're treated like a human being. They're listened to. I mean, man alive, I don't know who y'all married, but God gave me a pretty bright lady. And she walks with God. And she's got some good insight. And man, I'd be crazy not to listen to her and consult her before making decisions and consider that when we have a difference of opinion, she might be right. I better pray about this. Hey, was Pontius Pilate right or was his wife right? Are you listening? Let me give you number 4. Okay? Brother Jerry, How do we eliminate silly arguments in our marriage? Develop like-mindedness, divide responsibilities, discuss and listen to differences. Number four, dispose of a contentious, brawling spirit. Dispose of a contentious, brawling spirit. I don't get it. I'm just going to tell you something. I don't get this part of it. But some people like to argue. Oh, no, I don't like it. Well, why do you do it every day? It's because you have a contentious spirit. Ladies, let me give you some verses. Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping and a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Proverbs 21:9, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. That's a double wide. Proverbs 25:24, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, you can have a brawling, contentious spirit, and every time your wife comes or your husband comes in and wants to discuss something or bring something up or suggest something, you immediately and puff up, and next thing you know, your voice is loud, and you're talking about immediately, you see all the negatives, and the water's drip, 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 drip. I think I'm going to go hunting. Bye. What are you going to hunt? Mushrooms, fox, squirrels, deer, turkey, my shadow, anything that takes me out of this house into the wilderness. No, young ladies, listen to me. You know, I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of you are in the relationship. You're not married yet. You're just in the courting phase of life, and you're already arguing all the time. You ding dong. That's a precursor to your future. You're on the cell phone arguing all the time with each other. Half your time you spend arguing about things. What are you doing? The Bible said, when we read over in 1 Peter, that God looks down and he sees a meek and quiet spirit, and he says, that's of great price to me. You know why I believe that we've had peace in our home? You know why I believe for a lot of 25 years of marriage, it's been as smooth sailing as it has been, and there's been a joy and a love and a peace in our home? Because I didn't marry a contentious, brawling woman. When I started looking around and saying, God, I need a helpmeet. God, give me the right one. You know what? I wanted to find someone that had a meek and quiet spirit, because that was valuable to God and it was valuable to me. But wait a minute. There just aren't verses in the Bible about a contentious spirit with women. Come on. We like those verses, but what about Proverbs 26:21? As coals are to a burning, as are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it meddleth with thee. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. And folks, let me just say this. With all the verses about a contentious woman, there's just as many verses about a contentious man, and there's men that just come home, and you know what? They aren't going to be happy till they start an argument about something. They're going to nitpick, they're going to push buttons, they're going to bring up subjects until they get the whole family riled up. Good night! God pity your wife and pity your kids. Shame on you. That's a wicked thing. It's a wicked thing to say, I'm going to come home every night and I'm not going to be happy till I've stirred up tension and strife in the home. It's a wicked thing for a man to come home from a hard day work and there's a wife waiting and she's not going to be happy till she's got them into an argument. Man, I'd hate to have to live like that in my life. Man, home is the one place. Listen, you deal with that all day out in the world. That's how the lost people operate. I mean, you go to work and this employee wants to start something with you, and this guy wants to start something with you, and you go to the grocery store and somebody's got a smart... I mean, shouldn't home be that one place where you come in and it's a little piece of heaven? I mean, listen, you need to say, God, do I have a contentious, brawling spirit? And if I do, that is not from the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. That's what God's Spirit produced. Listen, there's an evil spirit that you've let oppress you and afflict your home and get inside your home, and he's keeping those things. Those are coming from Satan. It's not coming from God. So dispose of that. What do? I mean, you hit an altar. I mean, you get on your face. I mean, you spend some time getting right. God, I've been this way, and I don't care if you've been this way for 2 years or 20 years or 200 years. You ought to get right with God. Stop this nonsense. Well, that's just the way I am. Listen, that's no excuse for sin. Come on, where's the source of the fire? Where's the source of the contention? Who keeps heaping the wood on it in the home? Get on your face and say, God, you know what? I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to walk in, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit produce love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and temperance within my home, and I'm going to be active in allowing the Holy Spirit to orchestrate those things through me. I want my wife to be glad to see me come in the door. Not looking at the clock, getting an upset stomach, knowing I'm going to be home pretty soon, and 9 out of 10 times, here comes the hurricane. Come on. Come on. Dispose of that. What do you mean dispose of? Get right with God. Get on your knees. Confess it as a wicked sin. Ask God to fill you and change you, because he'll do that. Let me give you number 5. Dispose of a contentious, brawling spirit. Number 5. Delight, gentlemen. Now, by the way, I gave that to the wives, but even though that'll go to both men, but let me give you something to the men. Number 5, delight in making her happy. Delight in making her happy. Let me tell you another reason my wife doesn't have to submit to me very much. Because if I can do for her what she asks, I'll do it. You know, I have to have a huge reason to say no. I promise you this is true. By the way, this will help you in all areas of your, every relationship we talked about. I promise you this is true. But I would rather say yes to a follower than no. I think good leaders are that way. If somebody, listen, let me just talk to you as pastor for a minute. You talk to people that work with me all the time. You talk to people in the different ministry director's capacity. You talk to me about people that we've given jobs and assigned jobs here to do. I promise you, 9 out of 10 times they come up and ask me, Pastor Erie, I need this, or could I do this, or whatever. If I can in any possible way say yes, I'm going to say yes. You know why? Because I don't have to say no to prove that I'm in authority. These people are working around here. They're trying. They're in that area and field. Now listen, sometimes I see something that's going to present a problem that they're not going to see from where they're at, and I have to say, you know what? I understand why you want to do that, but you know what? Let's not. But can I say this? I hate it. I hate saying no. I don't enjoy it. I don't get off on a, you know, ego trip. If my wife comes and says, listen, you know what? In this area, you know, I know that, you know, you kind of said we could do it this way, but is there any way we could do it this way instead? I promise you, unless I've got a huge reason why not, I'm going to let her do it that way. Why? Husbands, love your wives. Why wouldn't I? If it's not that big of a deal, who cares? If I can say yes, I want to say yes. Now, delight in making your wife happy. Strong leadership does not demand its way or need to dismiss the ideas of fellowship in order to feel secure in their position. as a leader and the one that has the authority to say no, if you can possibly say yes, do it. All right, now let me give you the last thought and then we'll close her down. Number one, rearrange my notes here. Develop a like-mindedness. Number two, divide responsibilities. Number three, discuss and listen to differences. Number four, dispose of a contentious, brawling spirit. Number five, delight in making her happy. Now let me say this last word to the wives. Number six, die to self and submit when asked. Die to self and submit when asked. If you're a wife here and you leave this service and you go home and you start pulling these points out like a gun and shooting your husband with them, you know what? You have a brawling and a contentious spirit. That's wicked. Well, Brother Jerry, I feel like that we've tried to develop like-mindedness, and I feel like we've divided responsibilities, and we do discuss differences, and I feel like my husband's listened to me, and I don't feel like that we, either one of us, have a contentious, sprawling spirit, and I do feel like my husband delights in making me happy. But having said all this, I still felt this way, and he still felt that way, and he had to look at me and say, listen, I've listened to you, I've heard you, I understand why you want it different, but we are going to do this way, we have to do it this way, you need to trust me, listen to me. At that point, die to self and submit and obey with a sweet Christian spirit. Folks, you can submit in your actions without submitting in your heart. No husband, look up here and listen to me. Well, we need to just get rid of some wickedness that's in Christian marriages. No husband ought to have to pay and pick up the tab on making a decision that his wife disagrees with by putting up with a pouting, rebellious woman for a week afterwards or for 5 minutes afterwards. Okay, well, we'll do it your way. Then he comes home that night and there's bread and water. Go to bed that night and you've got six pairs of flannel pajamas on. Next morning, no breakfast. Open your lunch bucket. There's a piece of bologna that was in the refrigerator for 6 weeks. She didn't put mustard on it because there was already some green stuff on it. And you look and you're like, oh good, at least she put a Snicker bar in there, and you reach in and half of it's gone. Big bite out of it. Well, Pastor, I was submissive. No, you weren't. 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 And by the way, you look up here and listen to me. Your children are going to do the same thing to you. Okay, I'll obey mom, but I'm going to give her an attitude with it. And then you get mad at them for doing that, but you do that to the authority in your life. What I'm saying is this. Okay, you know what? My wife, because of the way we've set up our lives, and because 25 years of living together, being like-minded, there's not a whole lot of times that she has to submit to me. That's why I said, why my wife seldom submits to me. Make sure you get that right when you put that on the title of the sermon. Not why my wife never submits to me. But with all of those things being equal, there's going to be times where as a husband who walks with the Lord, who's like-minded, who listens to his wife, but knows the leading of God in an area, thank God for a wife during those times that says, honey, you know what, I trust you. And if you feel that's what God wants us to do and you feel that's the right decision, then I'm 100% behind you. And you know what? She gets in. She gets behind the decision. She works to make it succeed, not set over to the side, rooting for it to fail. Has a sweet spirit about it. Are you listening to me? If you have a wife like that, you have a virtuous woman, and her price is far above rubies. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll take these principles and help us tonight. Just help us Lord, there may be for some marriages just maybe one little truth, and that's really what they needed. For others, there may be several things, Lord, that I needed to hear that. For some, Lord, they really need a miracle. They need the grace of God. They need something supernatural to happen. Lord, I pray that the world could look at a Christian marriage, a man who says he's saved, a woman who says she's saved, that the world would look at a Christian marriage and say, wow, there's something to this whole being saved thing, because, man, nobody I know has a marriage like that. Nobody I know is as happy as they are. I mean, look at them. They've centered their lives around the Lord, and look what God's done for them and their family. Lord, it's so important for our own personal happiness, for the testimony before a lost world, for the sake of our children who watch day in and day out. It's so important that we do right. So I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our heart, please. We pray these things in Jesus' name.